Him when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obey. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, suggesting that Eau Claire has no foundation. Suggesting that Jerusalem has no foundation. Suggesting that Rome has no foundation. For he looked for a city, singular, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then he talks about Sarah for a verse or two here. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered as a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith. And he goes back to to what he was talking about up in verse 8 and 9, I think. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. Can't we have a testimony like that? Are testimonies like these limited to them? Why can't we, in 1986, have a testimony like this? When we died in faith. We didn't die in unbelief. We died in faith. Not having received the promise. Well, let's go on. But having seen them afar off, and we're persuaded of them. Can't we have that testimony that we're persuaded of God's word? Can't we have the testimony that we embraced his promises? Can't we have the testimony that we confessed that we were strangers and pilgrims on the earth? For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is, and heavenly. And that's why God is not ashamed to be called their God. Because their attitude is, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Because their attitude is, I'm a citizen of heaven. Because their outlook was up. Vertical, not horizontal, some say. Okay. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And it's not Jerusalem over me either. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's talk about verses 8 through 16 for a few moments. We did last week, but we'll go over it again this week. One translation says, Abraham, while he was being called, obeyed, which indicates immediate response and obedience to the word of God. Praise the Lord. Edward Fudge said, and he's the one that wrote the book, Our Man in Heaven, and I got that book just because I like the title so well. I'd buy a book just for a title, just to look at the title. I tell you, Our Man in Heaven. And Joe Vili wrote a song. You hear him stand there with Don Grant and sing that song? There's a man in heaven pleading for me. Not guilty by reason of the blood. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Not guilty by reason of the blood. Beautiful. Our man in heaven. I just love that. There's a man in heaven. One who lived on earth. Veiled in flesh. Lived in a tabernacle just like ours. Died, was buried, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he's there right now in heaven. A man in heaven. And he's welcoming us to heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love titles like that. But this man said, faith and obedience are inseparable in man's relation to God. So Abraham made eager haste to leave home when God called him. Beautiful. And he was 75 years old when he was called into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Abraham did not receive the promise of the inheritance at the time of his first call. Read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The promise of the inheritance was not given until he had returned from Egypt and Lot had chosen the well-watered circuit of Jordan to settle. Read Genesis 13, verses 14 through 18. The significance, Edward Fudge says, the promise concerning an inheritance was itself a reward for his initial faith, not the original motive for his obedience. And I think that Abraham had greater faith than we like to credit him with. You just consider the faith of that man. Then we talked about this last week, that where he went was a distant country. He was not issued a beautiful, well-detailed map like we get. You know, I can give you directions to San Antonio, Texas, right from here. You just go down Menominee Street, there's the Highway 12, take that out to I-94, and take I-94 to Minneapolis, and take 35W south at Minneapolis, and that'll take you right into San Antonio, Texas. There, you've got your map. If anybody's going to San Antonio this week, you know how to get there now. Abraham didn't have a map. He didn't have a map. The Bible says he went out because God said go, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing whither he went through sandy deserts and whatever. Not knowing whither he went. But he went anyway because God said go. You talk about faith. Now, if he'd have changed his mind, he probably wouldn't have known his way back. You know, he'd have been lost out in the wilderness somewhere. Who knows? But what faith that man had. Praise the Lord. Not knowing whither he went. We would like to take a trip to Hawaii because we have heard of the wonderful weather in Hawaii and the sights in Hawaii and the comfortable accommodations available in Hawaii. But Abraham wasn't given an attractive account of where he was going, not knowing whither he went. That came later. God said go, and so Abraham went. Praise the Lord. Another translation, the verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, while he was being called, obeyed to go out into a place which he was about to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not troubling his mind as to where he was going. Not troubling his mind as to where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. To sojourn is to live somewhere temporarily. That's what sojourn means. And brothers and sisters, we are sojourners today. We are only living here temporarily. So don't drive your stakes too deep, because we're temporary here. On page 125 in your textbook, we use this as a textbook through the book of Hebrews one time, and on page 125, Edward Fudge says, he lived with Isaac, who was born when Abraham was 100 years old, and he lived with Jacob in tents, the Bible says, and Jacob was born when Abraham was 160 years old, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they lived in tabernacles and tents. By faith he dwelt as a foreigner, this is another translation, without right of citizenship, in the land of the promise, as in a land not his own, having settled down to live in tents with Isaac and Jacob, joint heirs with him of the promise, the same one. Of the promise, the same one. You see that over and over in the Greek language. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham never did find a permanent abode here on earth. Never did. But he died in faith, not having received the promise, but he embraced them. Praise the Lord. Abraham's spiritual sight took him beyond the land of Canaan to the celestial city. Praise the Lord. This is a striking testimony to the reality and reach of Abraham's faith. Just as the true rest of God is not the earthly Canaan to which the first Joshua led the people of Israel, so the earthly Jerusalem is not the city spoken of here. I appreciate him saying that, because I've dared to say it. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation, and that word, you can look it up, means citizenship. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship, though we are citizens of America temporarily, our permanent citizenship is in heaven. And we might as well get used to thinking that way. Because we're going to be home very soon now. Praise the Lord. And if you raise a question mark when I make a statement like that, I'm right and you're wrong. I'll tell you why I know I'm right. Because Jesus said he's coming soon. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. The time is at hand. And I'm just going to keep believing what Jesus said, no matter the question marks in people's minds when they say, we've heard that for 40 years. Well, you can be sure it's 40 years closer than when you heard it then. Praise the Lord. In Galatians 4:26, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. See, this Jerusalem on earth, you might say, is the mother of Jews, but Jerusalem which is above is the mother of all Jews and Gentiles. Our citizenship is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Another translation, for he was constantly waiting for and expecting the city, having the foundation, the architect and builder of which is God. What faith, what foresight. Praise the Lord. A worldly spirit in the church or in the Christian is a deadly disease. It makes the life of faith impossible. Good. Let us count it our worst enemy and live as foreigners who seek the city which is to come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then we get into the next two verses on Sarah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now in this book, Mr. Fudge deals with this verse as though Sarah had no faith at all. He really treats it as though she had no faith at all. And you that took the course and have the book, know how many of you have this book right now? Quite a few of you, look at that. Okay. I don't quite look at it the way he does there, as though Sarah had no faith. Let's talk about it a minute. The author of Hebrews can find faith where most people don't find faith. For instance, he dared to say, after reading the Old Testament, by faith Rahab the harlot. Now I don't think if the New Testament writers said by faith the Rahab harlot, that New Testament Christians would give Rahab the harlot credit for having faith. In fact, if it wasn't for what we read in the Scripture, we nice people would probably reject you terrible people. But isn't it good to know that we're all from the same pit of sin, unbelief, degradation, depravity, corruption? We all came out of it. Every one of us. Wait, I was raised in church. Yeah. You came out of the pit. You did. You were a sinner. You are a sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Not one of us are nicer than somebody else, as it were, more holy or righteous than somebody else. We're all sinners. And I love to preach on Luke 7:37. I could preach on that every Sunday. I love it. I love it. Praise the Lord. What's Luke 7:37? Okay. I'm sorry. Where 7:47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I love to preach on that. I love to explain what that means. You just invite me and I'll do it again. I said the author of Hebrews can see faith where most people don't see faith. He saw faith in the harlot Rahab. And he said, by faith, Rahab the harlot. Oh, I love that. Telling us that Rahab made it. That harlot made it. There's a lot of other harlots. A lot of other drunkards. A lot of other ex-drunkards, harlots, dope addicts that are making it and going to make it and going to be in heaven. They're going to stand there with no plea but the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's the only plea you and I are going to have too. Even if we were raised in church. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus. The author of Hebrews saw faith in Jephthah. I've heard more people criticize, judge, and condemn Jephthah. And yet when the writer of Hebrews talks about it, he says, Jephthah. By faith, Jephthah. So you better reread that story in the Old Testament and see faith there. You know, I've heard more sermons on Samson. That old sinner, Samson. I've been sleeping in the lap of that woman, that fool. I mean that. I've heard more people, but the New Testament says, time would fail me to tell of Samson. Samson. I got news for people that judge Samson. You better judge yourself. You better judge yourself. And if you make it, you have to have the same plea that he has. Faith. Praise the Lord. Faith. By faith, John Tanberg made it. That's all I'm going to be able to say. That's all you're going to be able to say on that day. By faith, you made it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, your faith produces good works. Okay, so it has been suggested that it was all through Abraham's faith that Sarah had a child. Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen. That's what it says. So it speaks of Abraham's faith. One writer said, Sarah was so closely united with Abraham that her faith was due to his influence. Well, why am I talking like that? Where is it? Let's see if we can find it here. In Genesis chapter 17? Yes. 17 verse 15. And God said unto Abraham. No, that's not it. Where did Sarah lack? Can anybody find that? Let's read Genesis 18. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. See, it says in verse 12, she laughed within herself and didn't think anybody else heard that inner laugh. But God heard it. God heard it. And he didn't appear now. He didn't come to her to chasing her, to criticize her. He came to encourage her faith and strengthen her faith, because he went right on and said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And when the Lord comes to us, he doesn't come just to criticize our unbelief. He comes to strengthen our faith. Praise the Lord. He's our friend. He doesn't just go around with a whip club just waiting for us to make a mistake, have a little trouble with a certain passage or something, and then he's going to hit us over the head or whip us on the back. No. He comes to encourage our faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we read that Sarah laughed. Okay, then back up to Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Now it says Sarah laughed in one place, and it says that Abraham laughed in another. Abraham doesn't get spoken to about it, but Sarah does. Why? Because you look up the word laughed in the Hebrew, and you'll find that it has two meanings. You can laugh in scorn, or you can laugh with joy, rejoicing. And you got to understand that Abraham rejoiced when he laughed, and Sarah had unbelief when she laughed. It says so. It says so. And as for Ishmael, Abraham was saying, oh, that Ishmael might live before God. He's saying, don't worry, we're not going to kill Ishmael. We're not going to, he's going to live. Sure. That he might live before the Lord. Sure, I'll make him great too. But I've got a plan, and my plan will be fulfilled. And my plan says that Isaac will be the promised child. That's it. Okay? Praise the Lord. So they both laughed. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And Sarah certainly had her faith encouraged by those words, because when you get to the book of Hebrews, you read, by faith Sarah also. Now, if it was because she was so closely united with Abraham that her faith was due to his influence, then there's a good lesson for us men in this church to have so much faith that we influence our wives' unbelief, whatever unbelief they may have. We ought to be examples before our wives if this is the case, if this is right here. He communicated his faith to Sarah, and she believed God as a result. Men, be strong in the faith. You know, I've heard a lot of young girls of marriageable age today say the reason they're not married is because they can't find a boy that's worth a hoot. What they're saying is they have no faith. I'm not getting married till I find a boy with faith. Faith in God. I'm not looking for four on the tire, four on the engine, and four on the floor, all that. I'm looking for somebody that's got faith. Faith. Praise the Lord. I appreciate girls that stay single until they can find somebody with faith. And we that are already married and have been married for years, I hope and pray that we can strengthen our wives' faith. It's a shame when wives have to, well, I shouldn't say it's a shame, it happens that way, but it's just too bad when wives are stronger in the Lord than their husbands. I like to see husbands that are strong. I like to see men that are strong in the faith. I like to see men that can say to their families, follow me as I follow Christ. I like to see men that can cross a line and say, as for me and my wife and my daughters and my sons, we shall serve the Lord. I like to see men that can, that's what Joshua said. He didn't say, as for me, well, my children, they're going to have to make up their own minds. Take them by the hair and go, you're on this side of the line. get over here. Now get out of that line. Stay here. I'm telling you, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Right, son? Right, daughter? Right, wife? As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I know you can't force people to serve the Lord. I'm not talking about physical coercion. That's not my point. My point is that Joshua had to have something admired by his family for him to be able to say, as for me and my whole household, we're going to serve the Lord, no matter what anybody else does. Something so admirable in that man that he didn't have to take his kids by the hair of the head and jerk them over the line. If he stepped over, they stepped over. Praise the Lord. Men, let's stand up and be men. Quit you like men, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love to see men take the lead and earn the lead, not demand the lead. Not a bully sitting on the throne spewing out orders and cracking a whip and saying, go here, do this, sit, stand. Bring me my water, my slippers, the newspaper. Well, if I was that guy's wife, I'd bring him the Bible. Praise the Lord. Lord. Praise the Lord. So men, let's communicate our faith to our wives. Let's have faith in God. Well, my wife can stay home all day and read the Bible. I have to go to work. I went to work with my Bible. Amen. I went to work with my Bible. In fact, I got Bibles that I can put in my pocket so that I would never be without a spiritual lunch, food. I like to eat good meals, healthy meals, and then I like to nibble between meals. Just get fat. Spiritually speaking, fat on the Word of God. Carry it right on you. I always carry a Bible. I still carry Bibles on me. One reason I like to wear a suit anymore is because I got a place for Bible, got a place for a pen, a pencil, and I've got a place for a notepad over here. And of course I got other things like cotton and hearing aids and other pockets, you know. Good for the pride. Good for the pride. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Should I stop here? Time is up. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Praise the Lord. Skip all that. These all died in faith, verse 13. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Praise the Lord. Just think. They saw them afar off, but nevertheless were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now, you and I have seen the fulfillment of the promise of Christ, and we have to join Philip when he found Nathanael and said, we have found him. We have found him. Praise the Lord. Jesus has come. To us this is history, to them it was prophecy. I'm so glad I know him. Amen. Praise the Lord. These all died in faith. That's Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, not having received the promises, not in their lifetime, but having seen them afar off. Now that's spiritual sight, and we need spiritual sight. The Bible, Peter talked about can't see afar off anymore. We're so near-sighted. We need to be careful of that. Persuaded means full confidence, total trust in God's word. And embraced means I won't let go. I won't let go. Do you feel that way today? I won't let go. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand and dismiss Sunday school with that thought in our minds. I will not let go. The word confessed, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of sight. Abraham said that to the sons of Seth, and that's all that he owned in this world. As far as land goes, that's all the land he owned in this world. A man said to me, land is a very good investment because they're not making any more. And I thought, yeah, no wonder this man was on his way to being a millionaire and may be today. But I thought to myself, yeah, there's some more. You just got to have sight, spiritual sight. There's some more. There's a land that is fairer than day. There's a city where there never comes a night. Praise the Lord. Buy land? No, Abraham wouldn't have listened to that man who said, buy land, they're not making anymore. He wouldn't listen to that. He said, I'm not buying a thing. Just a burying place for my wife and for myself later on. And that's it. The cave of Machpelah is the way I pronounce it anyway. And that's all. That's all. Because I'm looking for a land. A city whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord. So don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take the counsel of this world too seriously when they say, buy land, they're not making it anymore. It's a good investment. Maybe you ought to sell your land and start looking for a city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. I'm not telling anybody to sell their land. That's not my point. You know my point? The point is, don't drive your stakes too deeply because Jesus is coming. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 11, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Lord, we thank You for faith today. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us faith. It is a gift of God. Praise the Lord. A fruit of the Spirit. We thank You for faith today, Lord Jesus. We believe You. We believe You. We know without faith, it's impossible to please You. Lord, we're not just trying to get ourselves to believe, but we have read Your word, and faith cometh by hearing the word of God. We have heard that word, and we believe You, Lord. We believe Your word. We believe in Your person. We believe in that Christ is the Son of the living God. We believe it all, Lord. We believe You died for our sins. We believe that we are justified by faith. We believe this good news, this glad gospel tidings, this gospel message. We believe it, Lord. We believe it, Lord, and You have proven it to be true. Oh, yes, we believe it because You said so, and You have proven it to be true by the transformed lives. Multitudes of transformed lives prove that Your word is true, so very true. Thank You, Lord, for the faith that You have given us. May our faith grow and grow and grow. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.